Did you know that there's a father shortage in the United States? And some fathers have simply gone AWOL. Many fathers have left their families, homes, children, and have left the bride of their youth literally unmanned. They had deserted their position as head of the home. Between 1960 and 1990, the percentage of children living apart from their biological father more than doubled. It went from 17% to 36%. The number today is nearly 50%. A fatherless generation has been emerging for some time in this nation that has created a void in the children and our nation. It has led to an increase in gangs because the young boys and teenagers are seeking affirmation, attention, and protection, which they can't get there from their father. Father's not around. And yes, fatherhood is also under attack as well. Some psychologists and psychiatrists have labeled fathers as outdated and unneeded. Some fathers have put fatherhood on autopilot, and they believe that the kids will be okay without them. These absent fathers feel that by pursuing bigger paychecks, more powerful positions, and other American idols, that they can fulfill their dreams. But research points out that a good father is vital and imperative to the future success of his children. Conversely, if dad is gone or failed as a father, then the future of his children is not so bright. These children are more likely to be convicted of felony, commit suicide, suffer from mental illness, drop out of high school, or become a drug addict. In fact, the U.S. government spends tens of billions a year treating the symptoms of fatherhood failure. And the problem just isn't getting better. And whether you're the president of a Fortune 500 company or a guy in a very low-paying, low-status position, your job as the father of your children is the most important job you will ever have. It is the only job you won't lose unless you quit. Are there benefits to this job? It is the only job that provides lifelong benefits as well as eternal blessings. The good fathers are those that you see walking in the Spirit of God right now. Nobody on this planet is more qualified emotionally, spiritually, and physically to be a father to your children than you. Parents, especially fathers, have the job of forging their kids into links on a chain of the Christian heritage. And research has shown that children whose grandfathers and even great-grandfathers that were men of commitment, competence, and character were more likely to succeed in life. We never really die if we have done a good job as fathers.
When Paul and I were attending Pleasant Chapel Church, we often taught the adult class, and of course we did The Power of the Praying Life by Paul Miller, which we also have introduced to you through our sermon series. But in that study, I also studied Stormy O'Marcia. And Stormy O'Marcia, how many of you are familiar with her? So glad to see those hands. She has an amazing book on how to pray for your children. And if you have children, grandchildren, neighbors, any child that you want to pray over. I tell you what, Paul and I always did blanket prayers over our children, and I think that's important, always important. But she has, every chapter is a different aspect of a child's life that we can purposely and intentionally pray over. So as you're praying over a child, you're maybe touching nooks and crannies we wouldn't have thought of before. So I want you to recognize that, again, as Stormy O'Marcia is encouraging us to pray over every aspect of our children, that this is spiritually based, that verbal blessings are scriptural. In the Old Testament, we see Isaac, of course, giving this blessing over to Jacob and Esau in Genesis 27. Other blessings, however, also occurred. And we will see that younger son, Jacob, also blessing his two grandchildren in Genesis 48. Jacob blessed his children then in the next chapter of Genesis 49. And even before all of that, Moses died. He pronounced a prophetic blessing on all of the tribes of Israel, and that is found in Deuteronomy chapter 33. In fact, in the Jewish homes, even today, every Friday night, parents and grandparents offer blessings over their children and over their grandchildren, believing that God has the ability to transfer his favor through their prayers. Sabbath begins on Friday evening, as we know, when the mother lights a Sabbath candle and offers a prayer of peace. Then the father, taking the lead, blesses the children in the home. Then the father lays his hands on his children, much as we do in an anointing service. Have you considered ever doing that, surrounding your children, your grandchildren, laying your hands upon them and blessing them? In the Jewish tradition, this placing of hands on the children's head and on their shoulders was to transfer the blessing from that parent to the child. The right hand was often called, and I don't know if you find this interesting or not, but it was called the good hand, and it was seen in the hand of blessing, whereas the left hand was used for bodily functions. The Jews have their little laws. Okay, so the right hand was used for eating, purity, and for cleansing. But we know that if you were around the Jewish tradition, that if you were touched by a Jew with the right hand, that is a sign of blessing. And sometimes we don't catch those signs because we simply don't know about it. In those days, and in these days, when the right hand is extended to you and offered to you in peace, it is a blessing of friendship. Now, they believed very carefully that you were not to have weapons in your right hands or any intentions of violence. And this was found, and their source for this is Luke 10, verses 5 through 6, where it states, Jesus said to his disciples, "When you enter a home, first say, 'Peace to this house.'" Isn't that beautiful? Do we bless the homes that we walk in, whether we say it, whether we think it? Do we ask God to bless the homes in which we enter? But the opposite is also true. Touching someone with your left hand was seen as contempt. And if you don't shake a person's hand, it is a message of, "I am your enemy or your foe, and I bring you curses or war." You would intend evil and ill will toward that person.
The NIV commentary for Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 states that there are certain elementary teachings which are essential for all believers to understand. The laying on of hands for spiritual blessings is one of those teachings. Remember how much a simple hug or touch allowed you to sense your parents' approval and love. Many fathers struggle to show physical affection to their children because it isn't seen as manly. We can learn by noting how our Heavenly Father blesses us with his attention in distinct ways that parallel our warmest memories as kids. when someone blessed us, an arm on our shoulder, or an embrace when we were scared. We read from Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 27a. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are his everlasting arms. As children, we receive a pat on the back or a steadying hand at the right time. And we also read then in Psalm 139, verse 5, which reads, "You, God, you hem me in. You are behind me and you're before me. You have laid your hand upon me." As parents, we also whisper in the ear of our children words of encouragement and secret instruction. And we read in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, "Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.'" We have compassion with our children through a kiss on the cheek or tender love and care. And in Psalm 103, verse 13, the psalmist writes, "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." The laying on of hands, which we just did with Becky, isn't just a ceremony. It is a transfer of blessing from a parent to a child or from a minister to a parishioner. In Mark chapter 10, verse 16, it states, "And he, Jesus, took the children into his arms. He put his hands on them and blessed them." By this scripture, Jesus, a practitioner of the Jewish faith, was observing a 2-millennia-old tradition of blessing children. We don't completely understand how the blessing is transferred from one person to another, but is still a fact of scripture. A human touch is so therapeutic. Whether it's just a hug of greeting or blessing towards another, or for individuals who need healing at the physical or emotional level.
But even as powerful as the physical touch is, as important as that is, we believe the most powerful blessings actually comes from the individual's words. Listen to Proverbs 11:11. Solomon wrote, "Through the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, it is destroyed." Therefore, remember that words, as simple as they may seem, they can affirm, they can approve, commend, compliment, and speak of love and affection with support and with faith. We, as parents, grandparents, or adults working with children, we must speak good things over and onto our children. We must speak our expectations, affirm their dreams, and give parental assistance in fulfilling their dreams. Just as we find in Genesis 49, verse 28, we need to personalize our blessings to suit each child. So if you're uncertain about doing that, if you don't know where to go, I would suggest Stormy O'Marsh's How to Pray Over a Child. Words contain more than information or just simply relate facts, as we know. In fact, linguistic theories, they recognize a category of words that do something in addition to relating facts. For example, let's look at a marriage ceremony. When the bride and the groom say,
I do,
something happens. A covenant is formed. It's more than words. It is a forged covenant. There is a binding together of two people. The words, "I do," changes an entire relationship, status, address, and even possibly a name change. when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and we say to Him, I do, a relationship is birthed, a new covenant is created. We become part of God's family. Let us look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, which states, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing, with every spiritual blessing in Christ. The church has been blessed with every spiritual blessing through Jesus. Our scriptures overflow with ideas and concepts if properly understood and can be warm and powerful invitation of blessing loaded with promise and power. Words have the power to bless, and His word gives us permission to bless. In Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 through 27, we read of a familiar blessing. It states, the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and tell his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. And the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. That is very familiar to us. We should hold on to that. That should be possibly one of our first blessings over those that we love. Again, Numbers 6, you'll find it. This is a fountain of blessings in two senses. Sorry, I wasn't quite finished. One, it flows from generation to generation of those who are in the Jewish faith. But for those who are Christians, this blessing can also be used because it belongs to us as well as to Israel. Isn't that beautiful? We are linked through the chain through Jesus' genealogy.
Now, let's examine this scripture by looking at it piece by piece. The blessing begins with,
the Lord bless you.
You know, blessing you is God's idea. God wants to bless your family, home, church, and community. You do not have to beg or bargain with God for your blessing. God is reaching out to you and to us to receive his blessing. In Luke 24, verse 50, the last thing Jesus did before leaving this earth was to bless his disciples.
And keep you.
This means to keep you safe, to put a hedge of protection around you, to guard you, to watch you, as a shepherd watches his flock by day and night, to keep the sheep safe and preserve them. God wants to protect and preserve us from evil and to have his people to enjoy their blessings.
The Lord make his face to shine upon you.
God wants to be with you face to face, as he was with Moses in Exodus 33, verse 11. Moses and God talked as friends face to face on Mount Sinai. In Exodus chapter 34, verse 29, scripture states, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the Ten Commandments in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with God. When God is close, you reflect his glory. As parents, we should pray that God be so close to our children that they will shine with God's radiance.
and be gracious to you.
God wants to give us what we don't deserve. Grace is related to the forgiveness of sin. We are pardoned by the blood of the Lamb. There is an unlimited supply of God's grace. God never runs out of grace for any of us.
The Lord turn his face toward you.
Some versions of the scripture talks about God's lifting his countenance on you. Countenance is the smile of the Father on his children. God wants to smile over you as well as your children. Pray that your children will make God smile and actually bless God's heart through their faith and through their actions.
And finally, the blessing concludes with, and give you
peace. Mm-hmm. Peace is not just the absence of war. Many times we think of it that way. But it's also the storms or the troubles in our lives. Peace is also the quietness of the emotions of our heart. It is the spiritual well-being that rises above circumstances. This peace is when your spirit, your soul, your body is at peace with God. And this kind of shalom peace only comes from our God. If you've made a profession of faith in Christ, you are now protected and pardoned by the blood of Christ.
You know, we talked about how we can pray over every aspect of someone else that we love, be it a child or be it an adult. But we also need to recognize that within the Jewish tradition, here's another really cool piece that we could pick up and run with. That this Aaron blessing, this priestly blessing, is also personalized for each child. In Genesis 49, verse 28, Jacob spoke to each child and gave a blessing appropriate to each child. For us today, we must let our children know that we are thankful for their accomplishments, that we praise and we have expectations for our children that amplify the child's vision and ambition for their future life, that we impart upon our children or grandchildren the sevenfold spirit of God. Have you heard of that before? The sevenfold spirit of God on them as found in Isaiah 11, verse 2, which states, the spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of power, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. These sevenfold spirits are also found in Revelation 4, verse 5, which states, from God's throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Let us pray that the sevenfold spirit of God will rest upon our future generation, our children, our grandchildren, our neighbors, our loved ones. So what can we glean from today's sermon? Well, if you haven't picked up anything yet, I will remind you what you could glean from today's sermon, okay? First of all, we can impart, and it is important for children to have both parents in their lives, if possible. Having both role models helps children to mature physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Secondly, children whose fathers, grandfathers, and even great-grandfathers who were men of commitment, men of competence, and men of character are more likely to succeed in life. Three, a simple hug or a touch from a parent allows you to sense your parents' approval and love, which children so desperately need. Four, The people are bound together by action words, such as I do in marriage vows, as well as when we say we accept Christ as our Lord and as our Savior and make that commitment of faith. 5, the words have the power to bless. And God's word gives us permission to bless, such as what we found in the Aaron blessing in Numbers chapter 6. Alan Shaw is going to close our sermon today with a writing. It's a scriptural reading from Ephesians 6:4 and a poem that he personally wrote entitled, Dads, Don't Get in the Way.
Sometimes, as fathers, we try hard to shape our children in our own image. But God has already done that part, as they have been formed in his image. Jeremiah 1:5 says, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. So do we honestly think we can do a better job than God? I doubt it. In Ephesians 6, verses 1 to 4, God's plan for the parent-child relationship is laid out. Children, obey your parents, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you will enjoy long life on the earth. As parents, we love quoting that part, but often stop right there. But in verse 4 goes on to say, Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. I wanted to make sure I fully understood what the meaning of exasperate was. So I asked one of the smartest hockey pucks I know. Meet Alexa. She's my office assistant. And we made a recording, the two of us, about exasperate, and I'd like you to hear it.
Alexa, what is the definition of exasperate?
Exasperate is usually defined as exasperate or irritate.
Well, Alexa, what's the definition of irritate?
Irritate is usually defined as cause annoyance in, disturb, especially by minor irritations.
Well, Alexa, what's the definition of disturbing?
Disturbing is usually defined as causing distress or worry or anxiety.
Alexa, what's the definition of anxiety?
That's a lot of eggs, but it still means that Haitian producers are providing less than one per month for each of the country's 11 million people. He doesn't like depending on the Dominican Republic, which Haiti ruled long ago. Did that answer your question?
No. What's the definition of anxiety?
Thanks for your feedback.
Alexa, what's the definition of anxiety?
Anxiety is usually defined as a vague, unpleasant emotion that is experienced in anticipation of some, usually ill-defined, misfortune or, alternatively, psychiatry, a relatively permanent state of worry and nervousness occurring in a variety of mental disorders, usually accompanied by compulsive behavior or attacks of panic.
Alexa, just stop.
You can see, she definitely answered my question. Not in the way I expected to, but I was definitely exasperated by the time that was finished. May your children desire, though, to be like you and not dread being like you. Here's the poem. A father's job is never to reinvent the wheel. Rather, it is to comfort and to heal. It is better to have your child's back than to be in their face. Be there for support and not to disgrace. Lift them up in prayer and show them the way. Then trust God that they will not be led astray. Be a godly example, not an irritation, and never be ashamed when this leads to imitation. Let's pray. God, thank you for your words from Scripture and that you have given us such examples to help in raising our children Thank you, Lord. Amen.